You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Opening day is coming up, and the Athletics have an opening day starter. So let's talk about that with Jane Lee and everything else going on with the Oakland team. I am Allison Sutter. Jane, so Kendall Graveman gets the opening day nod. Kind of cool. And what was the thinking behind that, and what did Bob Melvin say?
Yeah, I think as soon as Sonny Gray went down with a lat injury earlier this spring, it was pretty much assumed that the opening day start would go to Kendall Graveman. I mean, he essentially kind of anchored that staff last year when Sonny was down with, you know, other injuries, really stepped up. And it wasn't just Sonny that missed a lot of time last year. I mean, that pitching staff was just, totaled. It was a mess by midseason because of injuries. But through it all, Kendall made every one of his starts, led the team in starts and innings, performed especially well in the middle of the season down the stretch, and was just kind of always there, just that one dependable guy they could count on every fifth day when the other 4 days, it was kind of a blurry picture for most of the season. And he performed well, and I think, it's kind of cool for them to be able to hand this to him. Obviously, if Sonny was healthy, it would have been him, because Graveman was supposed to slot in behind him. But, Graveman and Sonny are probably two of the better friends on the team. So I know Graveman, you know, felt for Sonny, but I think everyone is pretty happy for Kendall just because of how far he's come in the last 2 years. I think maybe people forget that he was one of those pieces in the Josh Donaldson trade. And when he came over, he made the team when he came over, but struggled immensely, was sent down, took it really, really hard, but came back up. And ever since, I mean, the growth he's shown has been immense. And I think, you know, for the A's to be able to reward him with this really does reflect all that work that he's put in since that time.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Especially that, I mean, it's like the next best thing next to Sonny Gray, who I guess seems to be a little bit ahead of schedule, even though he's probably going to miss a lot of the first month of the season, but maybe it's not quite as bad as I thought it was going to be, like when it first happened.
Yeah, I know when it first happened, Sonny didn't think it was that big of a deal, but the MRI showed that it was a moderate strain, and with a lat, you always want to be careful with those. So it was assumed that he would be shut down for a minimum of 3 weeks before he started throwing again. But when he got that first MRI, they went ahead and scheduled an appointment with Dr. Romeo in Chicago, a lat specialist, at the 2 week point. So it was going to be a checkup for Sonny. So Sonny went this past Monday, flew in for like less than 24 hours, had all new tests done, and he was given the clear to start throwing. So, it sounds like he was right in thinking that it wasn't that big of a deal, but definitely did need at least some downtime. So whether this changes, you know, the initial timetable, and there really was no exact timetable for his return, I don't think anyone's sure right now, just because it's going to be a day-to-day thing. He started throwing from 75 feet. I believe today he's out to 90 feet. So it's going to be a slow progression. He still has to get back out on the mound, throw in bullpen sessions and start that process again. So still several weeks away, but, maybe they see him sooner than later. I think the hope still is by the end of April, which really wouldn't be all that bad, all things considered, especially with the amount of depth they do have.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're talking about a team like the A's, I don't know that there's not going to be that many save situations. I mean, let's face it, where they are right now is kind of in a transitional period. But they, I guess, need a closer, and there seem to be some options. I saw a lot of names thrown out there. Is there anybody who has the inside track on that closing job?
It doesn't appear that they're very, focused on picking just one. They do have a ton. They have Santiago Casilla, they have Ryan Matheson, Sean Doolittle, John Axford closed in the past. And right now, you would think that because Ryan Matheson closed for them last year, he would have a leg up. Casilla, too, because he's done so much of that for the Giants in recent years. But I think that they're kind of keeping things open right now, just knowing that with the makeup of the guys that they do have, these guys are all flexible and, you know, aren't really concerned all that much about their role. So they could very well enter the season with more than one closer. You know, they could ride a guy while he's hot. They could use a guy for two innings one night and he wouldn't be available the next night, so they could go to the next guy. And I think it could potentially work. You know, I know a lot of guys do like to know their roles, you know, whether they're the seventh inning guy or the closer. But with the guys that they do have here, I think everyone's just kind of open to whatever. And I think part of that is knowing, you know, looking around and seeing who's around you and knowing that, yeah, on any given night, any one of us could get the job done. So I would actually be surprised if they appointed just one ahead of the season. Now, of course, that could change if, you know, right away someone's performing well and above the rest of them. But I think it's kind of nice right now the way bullpens are evolving to kind of keep your options open like that and you know, just be flexible with those four guys, which they're also able to do because they have a pair of really good setup men. And Ryan Dole and Leon Hendricks behind them as well. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out, but I don't think, you know, it's going to be that big of a deal regardless of what they do.
Okay, now on a totally different note, this is how we're going to end it. We're going to talk about Ace Spirit Week, which gets quite a bit of attention. I didn't realize they're celebrating their 50th anniversary of the team being in Oakland this year, which is pretty cool. So this one, I don't know if I want to call it a gimmick, an event, an activity. The A's are encouraging fans to wear A's caps, and they're doing it in an interesting way. So why don't you tell us about the incentive program that they have built?
Yes. So during Spirit Week, which they have deemed it, which begins on Monday, I guess at any of their Spirit Week events, and there are several. There's a mural unveiling in downtown Oakland. There's a community event. There's a flag raising with the mayor. Just a lot going on. And also the Bay Bridge series, of course, with one of the games in Oakland. So at any of these events, if you bring a Giants cap, the A's are willing to trade you for a new A's cap. Now, I don't know where this idea stemmed from. I also don't know how many A's fans own Giants hats or if the idea is to turn Giants fans into A's fans. I really don't know that that will go over well. But it's, you know, as long, I think if you don't take it seriously, it can be funny. I think it, you know, gave everyone a good laugh. I know people on Twitter were really enjoying it. And, I mean, I don't know if you're not on Twitter or social media, how else, you know, you would find out about it. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, just how many people come in with Giants hats. But something to keep an eye on next week. It is pretty funny. I think, you know, at the end of the day, regardless of your opinion on it, I think it does reflect just that that push, that Oakland push right now. You know, they're really pushing their slogan, Rooted in Oakland. They want to take hold of Oakland, especially with the Warriors and maybe the Raiders on the move, and kind of take ownership of it and be proud of the fact that they are in Oakland, and they're doing kind of everything they can to really embrace the city. And, I mean, I think it's fairly obvious that Giants fans kind of seem to outnumber them in the Bay Area. You know, I think this is just another one of their ideas to maybe promote, you know, their own fans in Oakland and everything that they have to celebrate since they are celebrating their 50th season there.
Yeah, a good way to take over that region is to win a couple of World Series. So, okay, we'll be paying close attention to that. Jane, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
With spring training sort of coming to a close, the Rangers still have some questions to answer about their rotation. Let's find out from T.R. Sullivan if they're any closer to making any decisions. I'm Allison Futter. T.R., there seems to be some questions that have been answered. A.J. Griffin has looked really good. His last outing, he looked really strong against the Indians in San Antonio. So I guess in that respect, is he pretty much a lock at this point to grab one of those rotation spots?
I think he's the leader in the clubhouse, but the thing is, the competition's getting tougher. Spring training's going on because Eddie Gamboa, the knuckleballer they picked up this winter, he's looked really good. Dylan G's pitched well. And then we go over to San Diego on a Monday night, and Nick Martinez was outstanding for five innings. He kind of pitched himself back into the competition. So it looks like there's about five guys. Michael Hochschild is still in it, and so is, as you say, A.J. Griffin. So they got five guys fighting for two spots. And right now, everybody's pitching well. It's not like in past years when they were begging for somebody to win the job. This year, they got five guys who made a legitimate claim to the job, and everybody's got at least one or two more starts. So, again, this thing could go right down to the end of spring training.
Yeah, it's interesting, and often it comes down to, like, you know, can they send a guy to the minors? Can a guy pass through waivers? And they can, I mean, there's all kinds of, like, contractual things, too. But just looking at it from just a general standpoint, I mean, it's got to be nice for the Rangers to have some guys that are actually showing that they might be deserving. Dylan G was another potential starter that made an appearance in San Antonio. And he pitched really well for three innings, and he ran into a wall in the fourth, and he admitted that he ran out of gas, which I thought was interesting. Should he be not getting gas at this point, or is that something that's of concern? I know that he's been coming back from some injury issues too, so is that just kind of part of it?
Well, that's part of it. You know, it's been a few years since he pitched a full season, so I'm sure there's some fatigue there. He did have shoulder surgery in the off season. That's got to be a factor too. You know, this is a guy who can pitch out of the bullpen if they have to. He's a guy who go to the minors and pitch down there and just be depth in case something happens. He's got a little bit of versatility, but I think they're still looking at him as one of the candidates for the rotation. He's got an out on March 29th that he could take his free agency if he's not on the opening day roster. So that's one of those contractual things that you mentioned. The other one being Mike Hochschild being the Rule 5 guy. Obviously, they have to make a decision on that or offer back to the Astros. So those are the two big contractual things that you were speaking of a few moments ago.
Tyson Ross, and of course, they're not counting on him being ready for opening day, which is why there's so much competition for this rotation. But he seems to be ramping things up, seems to be on a good schedule, getting a little bit more intense in terms of spring training. So where is he?
Yeah, Allison, I talked to a scout about that yesterday. He said he watched Tyson throw in the bullpen, and he looks great. I mean, he looks fabulous. So they think he'll start throwing to hitters at the end of the week and maybe start going to a rehab assignment beginning of April. But he's coming along very well.
Starting to get a little more optimistic about these Texas Rangers as we're talking. An unfortunate note, Chichi Gonzalez, who not necessarily like a front runner in the mix to win a job, but still shut down a partial tear in his UCL. He's out at least 3 months. So that kind of came as a blow, it seemed, to everybody, really, a little bit unexpected. So that's a pretty unfortunate thing just as you look down the line for the future of the Rangers, I would think.
Yeah, that's a tough one. This is a guy who was a number one draft pick. He did a lot of work this offseason, kind of reinvented himself as a pitcher this year. He was really working hard on his off-speed stuff to go with that sinker, and he was looking really good in camp. And he really started off fast, and people were starting to get excited about it. And now it's going to be 2 or 3 months before he's ready to pitch again.
Wow, that's a bummer. Okay, and let's just end this on an interesting little side note on Yu Darvish, who is a free agent after this year. So, of course, you're going to see the little innuendos, little things written about possible contract extension. Nobody's committing to anything. Nobody's getting too excited about it, but it is starting to be talked about. But, I mean, a guy like him, I mean, I guess, this is going to be a huge year for him. But I guess sort of how he starts off might dictate maybe where this is going to go, but clearly the Rangers have an interest in retaining him.
Clearly, the Rangers would love to have him back, but they also want to make sure he's healthy. I mean, he's had a lot of physical issues. You know, obviously the Tommy John thing, but there's been other things too. So they want to make sure this guy's fully healthy and ready to go. So I think, yeah, it might go into the regular season a little bit, just so the Rangers are assured that they're going to get what they paid for. I know they've talked a little bit. I know they've batted some things around. I don't think it's gotten serious yet. I think the Rangers are still wanting to see a little more proof that this guy's going to be around for a few more years.
Yeah. Boy, that's going to be an interesting season for him, too. Okay. All right, TR, thank you so much. Good information. Talk to you next time. The Astros are nearing the end of spring training, which I'm sure they were looking forward to, and they still have few questions that need to be answered before they break camp. Let's catch up with Brian McTaggart on all of that. I am Allison Footer. Tags, let's start with Colin McHugh, who I guess he is not starting the season on time. It sounds like he's kind of working his way back from what they call a, quote, dead arm. I hate that quote. I hate that phrase, but that's what they call it. So what's going on with him, and what does that mean for the rest of the rotation?
Yeah, he's thrown only in a couple of minor league games. He did throw, I think it was three innings the other day. I guess that was on Wednesday. So he is behind, and it doesn't look like he's going to pitch in a Grapefruit League game while we're here in Florida. So that just leads you to believe that he's going to start the year on the DL. I mean, not that he's hurt anymore. I mean, I just think he's going to need to stay down here, maybe pitching him in a minor league game, and just to get built back up. I mean, he would probably just miss that first turn through the rotation unless he has some kind of setback. But all things considered, he says his arm feels good, and you know, he threw 41 pitches in the minor league game on Wednesday. So it's just, they just need a little more time for him just because he's behind. So what I think is going to happen is he won't be ready. He'll start the year on the DL, and I think both Fires and Musgrove, who were battling for that fifth spot, I think they both make the rotation to start the season, and I think that opens up a spot in the bullpen for, you know, they're going to need that long relief guy, not the role Davinsky used, but the kind of the swing man, and I think it could be Brad Peacock going into that role. And then that kind of rounding out the bullpen there. So, you know, just McHugh's situation just is leading to these little ripple effects. And really, other than that, there's not a whole lot of other things, you know, to deal with roster-wise.
How do you explain dead arm? Like, how – it's so hard to explain what that is because it's not an injury, and it's not – I mean, it's really – it's almost like – like a lot of pitchers experience that during spring training, like a fatigue that they can't really identify.
Yeah, and McHugh said that it usually happens later in spring, and you know, and his happened early in the spring. And I'm not sure how you'd describe it. I mean, I guess their arm just feels like it's tired and just needs rest, basically. And I guess that's all you can really do is rest it. I mean, he's not really injured. But after he threw in the minor league game, he says he feels like he would normally in spring training at this point. So, that's a tough one to kind of put your thumb on.
So the Astros made some cuts recently, which doesn't really make huge news most of the time. It was interesting, though, and like you wrote, the four guys that they cut have major league experience, all have played for the Astros in the past, and really does speak to the depth that the Astros have in the spring.
Yeah, the four guys they cut the other day were talking about Colin Moran, Tyler White, Teoscar Hernandez, and one more whom I'm forgetting.
AJ Reed.
Yeah, those are four guys who all made their major league debuts last year. You know, varying levels of success. I mean, Tyler White was on their opening day roster and was starting the season for them, and. And here, you know, 2 weeks to go in camp, and they're sent over to minor league camp. And, yeah, I mean, it just shows you how stacked their major league club is now. And all Moran and Reed had very good springs, too. I mean, I think most other years, last year and definitely the years prior to that when they were really struggling, I mean, those all four of those guys make the team. But, I mean, Moran hit close to 400. He led the team in RBIs. He's probably been their best player of the spring. And A.J. Reed crushed the ball this spring, four homers, 10 RBIs. So, but they were never going to make the team just because there wasn't room. Because the major league club, the position players are stacked. I mean, they're carrying 13 pitchers, so that leaves 12 position players, and there's just no room for those guys. So now they have these experienced guys at AAA. It gives them a lot of depth and options that we all know there's going to be injuries and underperformance. They're going to feel comfortable calling those guys up. And I mean, maybe if they need to trade one of these guys, you know, they're sitting there in AAA as well. So they're sort of getting this backlog of talent now at the upper levels of the minor leagues. And, you know, even a guy who's still in camp like J.D. Davis, a third baseman, another guy having a very good camp, he's going to be at AA because Moran's at AAA and then Bregman is at third base in the big league. So guys are starting to get backed up here. And that bodes well for the Astros. They could, you know, they could send a couple of these guys away in trade, or, you know, if they have a need that arises on the major league club, they have some guys they feel good about.
Moving on to the World Baseball Classic, which is now over, and the Astros are going to have all of their team back together again, as every team is experiencing and looking forward to and celebrating a little bit. But is there? I mean, Altuve was gone a long time. Alex Bregman was gone a long time, and Alex Bregman did not get very many at bats during this World Baseball Classic. So now the countdown is on. There's just less than a couple of weeks before opening day. How do they have time to make up for? How do you think the Astros are feeling about that?
Well, Altuve, when he got back the other day, came to AJ and said he wants to play every day, and so he is going to get a lot of playing time here the last week or so of spring camp. But Bregman only had four at bats. The whole World Baseball Classic, he got his work in, his conditioning, and, fielded grounders and all that stuff. But, I mean, he probably lost 30-plus at-bats in games that he would have gotten here in Grapefruit League. So that's not ideal, for especially a younger player who's still got some developing to do. But we're going to see him in the lineup on Friday for the first time, in a couple weeks. And I fully expect he is going to get every bit of playing time he can, I think, over the last week of camp here. Beltran, I don't think he got a lot of at-bats in the World Baseball Classic. They're not too worried about him just because who he is and being a veteran. But I know maybe if they had to do things over again, they probably would have wanted Bregman to stay home and just continue to work out here in Florida and get the at-bats. But I'm sure that's a great experience he'll grow from. But they're going to have to get him going in these last few games, and he and Altuve, and get them up to speed and see some of these pitchers.
And lastly, let's talk about Lance McCullers' foot. I think everybody was a little freaked out when he came out of the game early just because of the issues that he's had with his arm in the last couple of years. Turns out that it was a foot issue, so that shouldn't be detrimental. But what happened with that?
Well, apparently the spot on the mound he was landing when he was pitching was the exact same spot that the starter for the other team that day was landing as well. And so the way it was told to me, that spot really hardened, and next thing you know, Lance's, the mesh on his shoe, I guess, started to rip, and the skin got involved, and there was a little blood. But, yeah, when the trainer ran out to the mound and Lance McCullers is on the mound, Astros' world is going upside down because they need a healthy Lance McCullers. And then when AJ and the trainer get out there and they look down to his foot, I think you're like, oh, well, that's a sigh of relief. And AJ, he was close to coming out of the game anyway, so they just went ahead and yanked him and didn't let him face that last batter. But he's totally fine. He's going to make his next start. And, it's just last thing you want to see at the end of spring training is a trainer going out there. But that's all things considered, that was an easy one for the Astros.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, good stuff, Tag. Thank you very much. Talk to you next time.
All right, thanks.
The Anaheim Angels are preparing for the regular season, planning to put a starting rotation out there. We're just not sure exactly what that starting rotation is going to look like. Picture is getting a little bit clearer, so let's talk to Maria Gardado about all of that. I'm Allison Futter. Maria, really, I guess the most fascinating thing about this whole scenario is that the Angels don't have an opening day starter named yet. Of course, they will be naming one, but so far they're tight-lipped about it. What's going on with that, and who might have the edge?
Sure. So, going into the spring, everyone seemed to assume that Garrett Richards was probably going to get that nod just because he's the team ace. He's kind of their most promising arm. So everyone kind of thought that he would be named the opening day starter. But at this point, he's actually lined up to start the third game of the season. Matt Shoemaker, if he continues to pitch every fifth day, is actually lined up for opening day. So it's a little bit strange. Mike Scioscia hasn't revealed anything yet, but he did say that there is still room for some reorganization to go through with their pitchers. So I think that there definitely is, some contenders there. But I would say that Richards is still probably the favorite to get that nod, but you never know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, sometimes they just look at matchups and looking down the schedule to see what would be better matchups as the month goes on. I mean, there's all kinds of things that go into it. I don't think it's so much as like, oh, you're snubbing me if you don't make me the opening day starter, but it still is one of those like rites of passage, and it's it's an honor for a pitcher and blah blah blah. But
right.
Really, I mean, there's a lot of pitchers that seem to be on the mend. There's some positives that are coming out, even though there's like still a lot of questions about if these guys are going to be healthy. But like Tyler Skaggs had a nice little outing and a minor league start, so I guess they're pretty encouraged by that.
Definitely, yeah. So Tyler Skaggs missed one of his scheduled Cactus League starts due to shoulder weakness. So he's kind of playing catch-up at the moment. You know, the rest of the Angels starters are all going five innings and throwing 75 pitches this time through the rotation. And yesterday, Skaggs went four innings and threw 50 pitches. So he still is a little bit behind. But I think he says that he's pretty confident that he'll be ready for that first week of the season. And the Angels really liked what they saw in his minor league start. He struck out four, allowed only two hits, one triple, and an infield single that probably should have been an error. And he looked really good. He was really happy with his curveball. So I think he's definitely on track to be where he needs to be for the start of the season.
And somebody who's not going to be ready for the season, but Nick Tropiano, of course, he's had a long road back from Tommy John surgery. And really, I mean, they have to start, you know, they have to keep an eye on down the road, too, and not just so much like the beginning of April. So it sounds like he is sticking to his program and it's going pretty well.
Yeah, so he was just cleared to begin a throwing program over the weekend. He underwent Tommy John surgery in August, I believe. So, you know, he's not expected to pitch this season. He probably won't be back until 2018. But, you know, it's definitely good to see him kind of reaching those benchmarks along the way. Andrew Heaney is another guy who is also rehabbing and isn't expected back this year, but he's also been throwing. So, you know, it's definitely good to see those two arms kind of, you know, make their way down that long road. And I'm sure they'll be back in Angels uniform in 2018.
I know that you haven't been covering the team for very long, so I'm not looking for any, like, history on this, but has there been talk at all, like, has anybody questioned why the Angels have had all of these? I mean, they had so many Tommy John surgeries in the last couple of years. Like, has there been any kind of explanation for that? Just like when you were, you know, preparing for covering the Angels or just like talking to random, you know, people that cover the team. I mean, has anybody ever like thought that's kind of odd? Why is it all happening to this one team?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it was just like a situation where they just caught so many bad breaks, unfortunately, you know, injury. There's always a risk for injury with pitchers, and I think that they just got really unlucky in that they had those three pretty devastating elbow injuries all in one year. And, you know, it was probably the biggest reason behind their struggles last year. But I think that the Angels have actually taken steps to try to prevent arm injuries this season. They brought in an extra trainer. They've actually kind of changed the post-game routine for a lot of their pitchers. So the way that Alex Meyer, for example, explained it to us was that he used to kind of just run on the treadmill to flush out all the soreness and all that stuff. But now he's kind of gotten away from that and is doing more like stretching and that type of stuff. So I feel like I think that there's no way to really find out what was behind all those injuries last year. But I think that the Angels definitely are trying to avoid that, and they're implementing these changes to kind of make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know that that's the way, like the next thing that the teams are trying to stay ahead of the curve and mm-hmm. sort of beat the competition is by staying ahead on the medical side, and like they're treating it like it's a science, and that there's analytics to be studied, and there's all these experts that kind of come in, and I guess like just keeping guys on the field is the next way that they're gonna try to, you know, keep a leg up on all the other teams.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, I agree.
So how's our buddy Albert Pujols doing? I can't let a podcast go by without checking in on the heavy-footed Albert Pujols. Is he having a okay time as spring is winding down?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's actually off to a pretty hot start. And you know, at the plate, he's hit at least one home run. He still isn't ready to play the field yet, but the Angels don't really need him at first because they have Luis Valbuena and CJ Cron. So he's probably just going to DH for the entire spring. And then, you know, he said he's not going to really rush trying to get back to play first base, but he's looked good. He actually was away from camp for some function in St. Louis or something, but I think he's expected back like today or tomorrow. So he looks good. I mean, he won't confirm or he won't like say definitively that he'll be ready for opening day, but all signs seem to be pointing towards him being in that lineup when the Angels open the season in Oakland. So I think that he'll be fine.
Yeah, they're going to need him for sure. And there's not that many other, like, really roster decisions, are there? I mean, it's just as kind of they're winding down, I guess these last 10 days or so will just be sort of fine-tuning things and, you know, kind of getting together as a team and getting ready for opening day. It doesn't seem like there's a ton of competition left.
Sure. I think the only thing that's a little bit, uncertain is how their bullpen is going to end up shaping up. With Houston Street injured, the only other people who are playing guaranteed spots in the pen at this point are, Andrew Bailey and Cam Bedrosian. It's probably a safe bet to say that Jose Alvarez will be in there since he's their only left-hander. JC Ramirez, if he doesn't get a spot in the rotation, will probably end up in the bullpen just because he's out of options. And then, there are like three spots up for grabs. But, Kirby Yates, Yusmeiro Petit, Bud Norris, those are all kind of guys who are in the mix, Mike Morin as well. So, I think there will be some tough decisions on that end. But other than that, I think that, there aren't too many other spots that are kind of in question right now.
Yeah, it's just time to get that regular season going. Enough of spring training. So we're almost there. So, Maria, thank you so much. Enjoy the last parts of the spring, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Allison.
Seattle Mariners are getting ready for their final stages of spring training before opening day. Let's catch up with Greg Johns and find out what's going on with them. I'm Allison Sutter. Greg, okay, first of all, this news just kind of came out of nowhere with Sean O'Malley having an appendectomy. So he had it was successful, and now he wants to come back immediately. So I'm sure that's not probably happening, but what's going on with him?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals that life hits and not always the right time here for Sean O'Malley, who's battling for probably the 25th roster spot, really fighting in that for that utility role, and with Taylor Motter, came to work a couple days ago and felt bad, stomach didn't feel good, like a lot of us wondered, kind of tried to fight it off, and ended up going to the hospital and having an appendectomy. So once they do take the appendix out, you got to sit a little while. He is a trooper, though, in true O'Malley fashion. If you've seen him play, he's an all-out guy. And sure enough, after having the appendectomy one night, he's in the next morning, literally walking around the clubhouse, saying, "Hey, I'm going to be okay. I'm here." And I went to talk to him, and he said, "I'm feeling a little woozy at the moment." So he went to the trainer, the doctor he had told him that he knew of a woman who ran a marathon 5 days after having an appendectomy. So Sean said, "My goal is to get back in 4 days, but that it's probably not going to happen." I think everybody knows that. It's going to take a little while to get that healed up before he's playing baseball again. But he's hopeful of being back before opening day. The Mariners aren't setting any timetables on it right now. I just want to let him heal and take care of himself, and they'll figure out the baseball part of it when they can.
Yeah, I would imagine that part of this is coming from, a little bit of paranoia, right? Because he's, fighting for a spot on his roster. And so that often, I think, creates a little bit of a sense of urgency and that they don't want to be left behind.
Absolutely. And, this is a pretty set roster with the Mariners. Not a lot of open competitions, and that's one of them, the utility spot. And, he knows it. He knows he's got to be out there to play. And a little thing like that can mess you up, when they go to make the final decision. So, you got to be healthy and out there, and it's something, sometimes things out of your control. And he's going to let them know that he's ready as soon as he can, and I think they appreciate that, and it's kind of what makes Sean O'Malley Sean O'Malley.
Okay, moving on to Nick Vincent, who is having an interesting spring in that he is absolutely getting rocked by the home run ball. He's a fly ball pitcher, and playing in Arizona this time of year is no fun for fly ball pitchers. I guess they're saying all the right things when it comes to that. How is he able to, not let that get inside his head, even if it's the elements more than the abilities that are creating this issue?
Yeah, you just have to believe in yourself and what you've done in the past. And he's a guy who does give up home runs now and then. He's got excellent stuff. He's a tough reliever. He's one of their primary setup guys. Very well could be the eighth inning guy the way they're looking right now. But six outings down here in Cactus League playing, had a home run in five of them. It's just not what you want to see. A couple of them are legitimate shots. A couple of them are just wind blown balls. A couple of them are just things that carry in Arizona and that won't carry certainly in Safeco Field. You don't see balls just fly out like that. Normally it's going to be a ball at the warning track or less. You had one yesterday that hooked in the wind and looked like it was foul, got blown in, and just barely cleared the fence. And I'm pretty sure in Safeco Field, it's a high fly out, and down here it goes on your record, and it's another home run. So, yeah, he's ready to get out of here. He's ready to break camp, I think, before anybody and get into the more natural elements. I mean, it's hard to judge pitching down here. It really is. And a guy like that who is a notorious flyball pitcher, it can bite you sometimes. It's not something he wants to see, but I think the team understands it. They, you know, they're saying all the right things, and you know, certainly supporting him, and you know, kind of trying to let him know, hey, we're okay. We believe in you. Don't freak out over this. We'll be okay. And that's pretty much all you can say is trusting a guy and trusting his stuff that it's going to play when you get in the regular season.
And now that the World Baseball Classic is over, I realize that some of the Mariners players have been back for a little while, not very long, but now it is officially over and everyone's back at their camp or on their way. So that's a lot of Mariners. Is there a period of time, is there kind of a sense of urgency now to get this team playing together, to get these lineups that are going to kind of look like they are during the regular season? Has there been any lost time, do you think, for some of these guys? I guess the guys of the Mariners, I mean, they really did get some pretty significant playing time, except for maybe Gene Segura. What's the feeling there?
Yeah, Segura's the one guy that they want to get a little more action, because he didn't play a lot with that Dominican team. It was just so stacked, and he came back. He hit a home run his second game back. He certainly looks like he hasn't missed any beats. Cano had a big game his first game back. Cruz looks like Cruz. I mean, these guys, I think they're fine. I think the manager's going to give them a few days here. And as they get into next week, pretty much what they would in any spring, down the stretch the last week, they'll be playing the regular lineup a lot more, giving those guys more time and really getting them fine-tuned for the season. So I think they're okay there. I think you know, certainly fans missed them. The team has kind of missed their presence, but I think these guys, these are professionals. They're going to step right back in, and they certainly have looked good coming back in. Edwin Diaz is kind of the big key. He got used a lot for the Puerto Rican team, that closing role, and there was some questions whether he should even pitch in the last game. It turned out he didn't need to, but he's a guy that sort of they're going to give a couple days off, let that arm freshen back up, and get him rolling into the regular season there. He was throwing 100 miles an hour, you know, and throwing two innings, kind of things you don't do with a closer at this time of year in spring normally. But it shows you how ready he is and how live that arm is. So they're eager to get him back, get all pieces on board, and when they do, it's certainly a different-looking Mariners team.
Yeah, Felix, he has to feel good about 5 scoreless against Team USA. I've been a little bit concerned about just him overall, and just things that we've talked about in the past, and it just seems like he's maybe not exactly the Felix that we're used to. So he has to feel pretty good about how he performed.
Yeah, both he and Drew Smiley, I think, take a big confidence boost out of pitching in the WBC and pitching very well. And, Felix, he's going tonight as we sit here speaking. He's pitching against the Giants tonight in another game. And from what I've seen, the one thing, these guys come back, they're not pitching in front of 35,000 chanting fans in Miami or, mm-hmm. or Mexico or wherever they've been. It's a little different, a little drop-off when you come back. Drew Smiley came back after pitching so well. And he pitched in a minor league game, and I went out and watched him. He just looked like he was, you know, totally going through the motions on a minor league field against some AAA hitters, and got hit around pretty good after being lights out for Team USA. It is a little bit of an adjustment for them, and I think I look back when we went to Japan. I think it was 4 or 5 years ago. Played a couple regular season games. Came back here to Arizona and played about a week of Cactus League games before getting back in the regular season and trying to gear it up and then go gear down. It's tough about that week, and I think those guys are going to go through a little bit here and then get their legs under them and hit full speed going into regular season. So there's plenty of time for that. So it'll be interesting to see how Felix does tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, interesting. Thank you so much, Greg. Talk to you soon.
You bet, Allison. Good talking to you.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.